This is WFHB News Director Wes Martin, and I'm joined in our studio with Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton. Mayor Hamilton, thank you so much for being here.
Delighted to be here at FHB. Wes, good to see you again.
Good to see you. And also, I have to ask you, you recently announced that you're going to be running for re-election as Bloomington Mayor. Why would anybody want to do this job for another four more years?
Well, Wes, I love the job. Every time I get a chance to be with other mayors, I can kind of sympathize with that question. But being a mayor of Bloomington, this is such an incredible city. There's so much going on. I feel so lucky to be here at this time working with the community to keep making it better. And it's a joy to go to work every day and to be able to work with all the wonderful people of Bloomington to try to help make this place better and better.
Mayor Hamilton, there's been a couple of miscalculations. I think that's a fair designation in this administration, particularly talking about the city's data portal hosting information about overdose victims or the purchase of an armored car for the Bloomington Police Department and annexation attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Those are big questions about the last 3 years. And so I'm wondering, do you stand by those decisions, or are those things that you would want to do over or would make a different decision?
Sure.
If you could.
Sure. Look, re-elections, election seasons, particularly if it's a re-election, it's basically a job interview, right? It's a time to talk with the community about what we've done together and what I've done in the job of mayor over the last 3 years. And absolutely, like in any job interview, my view is you kind of look at, hey, what did you try to do? What were your responsibilities and how did it go? And I think my first day in office, I said, we're going to try a lot of things in this job. I didn't run for mayor to be a mayor who just is so careful that we don't try things that don't work, make mistakes. That's going to happen in a big government of 700 people, and I'm one of them. So I think in the big picture, I'm very proud of the work we've done to make progress in jobs, which drives so much of the economy, to make real progress in affordable housing. We have hundreds of units of affordable housing that we didn't have before, to make the government work better, to improve the quality of life. And then were there some activities that didn't work out? Absolutely. You know, to tick off the three that you mentioned, look, annexation, we celebrated the bicentennial last year. Bloomington's 200 years old. We annexed for 192 years of those 200 years. The city grows. We get more people. The boundaries change. And when I came into office, we hadn't done anything for 12 years. We really need to talk about it and think about it. And I continue to think the boundaries of Bloomington need to keep evolving to reflect the way people live on the ground. We're in a lawsuit right now because the state government stopped us midway through that process. I think that kind of discussion still is important. What should the boundaries of Bloomington be? And that's a discussion we need to have. And yes, some people get upset about it. I think what the legislature did was unconscionable and unconstitutional because they picked out Bloomington and said, we're going to stop you from doing your annexation. But the debate, the discussion of where the boundaries of the community be, we've been talking about for 200 years, and we're going to keep talking about them. So that's the way that works. You know, the armored rescue vehicle, we know, and I've said that the way that debate began was awkward and should have begun in a different way. The key thing was this community had a very extensive debate publicly about, do we want an armored vehicle to replace one we had before in the police department or not? And that's a very valid debate, and I'm comfortable. There are definitely strong views on both sides on that issue. I'm comfortable that we had a very extensive public debate about that decision. Should we have one or should we not? I continue to believe that we were, as a community as a whole, took the appropriate steps to protect the people who protect us. We also have the most public use of an armored vehicle of any city maybe in the country, definitely in Indiana. Every month at the Public Safety Board, there's a review of, was the vehicle deployed, under what circumstances, let's review it. It's been deployed 3 times since we brought it in last summer, all for armed hostage situations, used appropriately in my view. So that was a very hot public debate about it, and there's some people who think we should have gone differently, but I'm comfortable that we had that debate, we're using it appropriately, and we're keeping our officers safe, which is a key thing. When an officer was shot at 3 times just a month ago, and we live in a world with way too many guns, so we have to protect them. On the opioid data, which you referenced, so going back through these, it's kind of a job interview, right? I am deeply committed to transparency, and sometimes the process of sharing information is painful. And I think this community, the decision to put that information out was done through a committee of county, city professionals who looked at how do we understand what's going on with this scourge of opioids, and where are people dying, where is overdose happening, what parts of the city, what kinds of places, and that was, it is really important to understand. But the mapping of it proved to be painful for some people. We pulled that back. But, you know, I also said on my first day in office, we're going to be a very transparent administration, and we have 150 data sets up online right now to help people know this is your data. So, you know, in the big scheme of things, I'm really proud of what this administration, this community has done. Absolutely, as I said on day one, we're going to try some things that don't work. You know, we try a lot of things, and some of them work and some of them don't. But on balance, the community, I think, is, you know, we're better off now than we were 3 years ago. The progress, the momentum, we have a lot of challenges in front of us, but that's what gets me up every morning and working on with the community.
I feel like Bloomington Democrats are largely divided between Clinton's and Bernie Sanders. So how do you marry those two parties that I think agree on an arc of history, but not how to get there?
Well, you know, the Democratic Party has, and all the members of the Democratic Party, of which I'm one, certainly there are differences among us. And the first point, I guess, is what we share is way bigger than what we differ on. Even, you know, in primary candidates, primary times, sometimes energies and loyalties get up like it's a Super Bowl or something within the party, and people feel strongly about it. But after you get through that, then you remember how much you share with your former opponent in an election and move on together, as that may be. Bloomington, look, the Democratic Party has always been a big tent. People, very different views of lots of different issues. That's healthy. It keeps the party active. One of the things I'm proud of as mayor, as a Democrat, I've used some of my political support to support what we call Democracy Lab in the local Democratic Party, which is a way, particularly after the Trump election in 2016, there were so many nonprofits and advocacy groups popping up and so many people energized. And we now support 10 of those groups at the local headquarters, giving them office space, giving them some technical help, giving them some resources. And I help make that happen because I think the Democratic Party gets stronger when new voices come in and are advocating for change or different ways that happens. So that's all healthy, and the Bernies and the Hillary's supporters can all get together and work. I don't know who it'll be in 2020. You know, we'll see who it is.
And you know, this also brings up another interesting point, is that this has been a year of firsts, particularly for women and women who have never run before in county government. For example, we see the first all-women commission in over 200 years of Indiana's history, which is a wonderful thing, but also begs the question, how is this the first time this has ever happened?
It's taken too long, hasn't it? I mean, we should be very proud it's Monroe County. We shouldn't be surprised, but we should be very proud that it's Monroe County. And you know, if you look at our whole range of elected officials, county, city, township, it's a spectacular alignment of lots of talent that for far too long in our history wasn't standing up. But our judges, I think, are 7 or 8 to 1 female now, all 3 commissioners. We have the city council and city clerk and county council. And of course, we're stronger for it, and people of color. Now, our democracy as a whole has a long way to go on that still.
And let me ask you, what's your biggest regret from this administration, from the last couple of years? And then to follow that up, what are you most proud of?
Well, you know, if I think about my biggest regret, and I don't know if this is fair or not, but the thing that most dramatically changed my job, changed our community's trajectory, I think, was the election of 2016. I mean, I'm a public official, and I operate in a larger government of city, state, nation. And what happened in 2016 just was a terrible and traumatic jolt to our democracy and our system. And it's changed my job. It's changed the culture of our nation. It's changed the culture of politics locally. And I really regret that it's been a huge, from my view, step backwards from a lot of progress that we've made together as this community, state, country. And it's meant we've had to retrench and respond to acts of hate and to, you know, luckily we haven't had mass violence here, but just the tone has gotten so caustic, and the fear-mongering has become so fed by the media and the tweeter-in-chief that it affects all of us. We can't have, we talk about things that we shouldn't even be talking about. Why are we talking about some of these things? So that's my biggest regret. You know, locally, I think one thing about being in a mayor's job is there's so many things happening at once. It's hard for me to pick out one thing of which I'm proudest. I guess I would note, maybe in a similar vein, one of the most significant positive things has been the bicentennial. It's something for a community to get to 200. Now you get there by waiting, you know, 200 years just comes, but it was a year, both the county and the city turned 200, and it was a time to think back, to remember Bloomington's history, all the thousands of people who made hard choices, who worked hard, who've made this community what it is, from starting a community radio station that blooms into something big, to the, you know, to the downtown square, to the businesses that were here, to the arts organizations, to the social service. And at 200, you kind of get a chance to look back on that and be reminded of, hey, we're in this for the long haul, and we're making progress year by year. And it's a proud thing to feel like you're part of that, you know, step-by-step work.
2019 is a huge year for your administration and for the city of Bloomington in general. We've got the upcoming Trades District, which mm-hmm. Dimension Mill is now open. We've also got Switchyard Park ready to come online at some point in 2019.
Late 2019 mentioned. Should open up.
Mm-hmm. And then also the new hospital site that your administration has been working with the IU Health Foundation mm-hmm. to figure out what to do with this when the hospital moves out to the bypass. So those are some big accomplishments. And I think I just wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of brag about that and brag about the work your administration has done.
Well, look, the community, when I came in, I talked about the string of pearls, these four major projects right along the B-line corridor. It helps remind us, you know, turning this rail line into a trail. And you wake up a few years later and you realize there's these four huge community asset projects that are developing along that. That was a really smart thing to do that my predecessors in the community did with the B-line. So, you know, right from, and any one of them, any mayor would be proud and probably feel fulfilled to be part of. And we've got four at the same time. The Switchyard Park, which should open the end of this year, is under construction. Biggest park project in the city's history. It's going to create a whole new dynamic and energy in the southwest side, and it's really a regional asset. It's going to be a beautiful park, and I hope everybody will enjoy that. Moving up the way, as you mentioned, the current hospital site, we were able to cut a deal to get a very good discounted price to buy 24 acres right downtown that the community is then going to get to decide what do we want to see happen there. That's unprecedented to be able to take that big a area right downtown and re-envision what we want to have happen. Next block up is the convention center, and working with our county colleagues, passing a food and beverage tax and getting in place. This is 25 years old. We are a destination community, and we want more people coming here. They bring business and energy, and also civic events can happen there. And that's underway over the next few years to design. Again, the public will be deeply involved in that. And then four stop up the line is the Trades District, as you mentioned. And we opened the mill. We're supposed to call it the mill now. It's a better name, they tell me, than the Dimension Mill, too long. So we call the mill this exciting co-work space, business incubator, along with we've got an affordable housing project, Beeline Heights, opening right there to make sure, as we want, this community continues to welcome people from all walks of life. And that's going to be a new job center for the city. And all four of those things are running along at the same time. And it's a good harbinger for our community that people want to be here. People love the quality of life here because of the 200 years of history that built this amazing community. And it's our job to hand it off to the next generations, keep getting it better and better and more welcoming to more people.
Mayor Hamilton, anything else that you want listeners to know that maybe I haven't asked, or anything in particular you want to impart with well, folks in Bloomington.
Thanks, Wes. I mean, we've talked about a lot of the good things going on in Bloomington, and there are many. We didn't talk a lot about the arts and the kind of the quality of life investments, the murals and the arts grants and such. So anyway, there's a lot of good things going on, but it is important. And every day, I remember this community isn't working for lots of people. It's hard to live in Bloomington for some people. It's an expensive community. It has been my mantra from day one that we must make Bloomington a community that welcomes people and that works for people from all walks of life. We have people in deep poverty. We have homeless people here. We have people suffering from substance use disorder. We're, of course, not unique in that. And it's those are big, complicated challenges. But our community has a huge heart. We have hundreds of social service and nonprofit organizations that help us from government and help us as a community wrestle with those. And we've made a lot of progress with affordable housing. We work really hard to try to We've generated hundreds of units of affordable housing, and we're not done yet. And some developers don't like it. They don't like us pushing them to be part of the solution, but we will not solve it without this kind of pressure. We work very closely with Shalom and social service organizations. And, you know, as the community continues to develop and enhance with Cook doing 500 new jobs and Catalan doing 200 new jobs and Secretly Group and Hennepin and Envisage and Synopsys and these other companies growing jobs, which are so important, we always have to keep a keen focus, too, on making sure this expensive community works for people from all walks of life. And that's a balance. We don't always get it right. But if Bloomington doesn't solve that, if we don't make it possible for the teacher and the police officer and the nurse and the firefighter and the construction worker to be able to live in our community, then we are way poorer because of that. So that's an essential job still ahead of us that we're in the middle of.
Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton announcing he's running for re-election in 2019. Mayor Hamilton, thanks so much for coming by to WFHB.
Thank you, Wes, and thanks to WFHB.